Welcome to Elevating Pikes Peak Women, a podcast production of Pikes Peak Women. I'm your host, Mary Lou Makepeace, and this podcast will be bringing you content relevant to the women of the Pikes Peak region in order to help them get engaged, get empowered, and make a difference in our community. Pikes Peak Women was established in 2011 in response to a need to address critical issues involving women, issues like pay equity, healthcare reform, women's rights, and social equity. Pikes Peak Women also provides forums where women can learn how to engage, become politically active, join local boards, take leadership positions, and run for office. We do this as an independent, nonpartisan organization in collaboration with other organizations whose missions support and strengthen ours. So let's dive right in. Hello, this is Mary Lou Makepeace with today's edition of Elevating Pikes Peak Women. It seems like every time we do one of these recordings, I meet another fascinating female in our community, and I'm so glad to be able to invite them here and have a conversation so that you all have the opportunity to hear what they're doing. And today, we have somewhat of a newcomer to the Pikes Peak area. So many of our today I have the pleasure to interview someone who's somewhat of a newcomer to the Pikes Peak region. And like many of our citizens, she's a military spouse. So I want to talk to her a little bit about that. But unlike so many residents in this community, she's been here less than 3 years, and she's calling Colorado Springs her home. I think that she has plans to make it her home ongoing. So let me introduce Kimberly Gold, military spouse and one very active citizen in the Colorado Springs area. Welcome, Kimberly.
Thank you.
It's great to have you on the podcast. I'm going to have you talk a little bit about yourself. I understand you're the head of the Black Chamber in our community, and you were recently named the Outstanding Military Spouse of the Year. That's pretty impressive. And we'll get into that. But now let's tell us about yourself.
Well, I'm so excited to be here. It is an honor to sit down and have a conversation with you. I do lead the Black Chamber. I have the honor of being the presidency of the Black Chamber of Commerce for Colorado Springs. And I am also the Armed Forces Insurance Army Spouse of the Year for 2024. It's been such a fun ride to be here in Colorado Springs for the last 3 years. I think if I had to summarize my experience, it would be by using Fannie Mae Duncan's coined phrase, everyone welcome. I feel that energy and that spirit every single day in so many of my interactions with other Colorado Springs residents.
Well, not only is everyone welcome, but I think Fannie Mae thought we all should share a load in making this a great place to live, and you certainly have taken that up. You are married to a military man who's currently in Poland. And you have a son and a dog. Mm-hmm. Anybody else I should know about?
I have all of you.
Yeah. Everybody welcome. Everybody's related.
Yes.
Did you and your spouse volunteer to come here, or was sort of a random thing that the military does to you, just say, this is where you're going?
Actually, my husband visited Colorado Springs due to work years before we actually met, and he received an assignment to Korea, which is where we met, and his request to his chain of command, leadership, powers that be, was that he get Colorado Springs after Korea because he loved Colorado Springs so much when he came to visit. Little did he know that I was going to fall in love with it way more than him.
Well, that's good. We don't want an unhappy spouse.
you know what they say, happy spouse, happy house. Or is it happy house, happy spouse? I don't know, something like that.
And he's currently in Poland.
He is in Poland. He has on an assignment or deployment. Though I have to say, I feel like Europe and deployment, those two words don't really go together anymore. But it is technically a deployment. He is working hard, but also enjoying himself. And I look forward to him being home.
And when might that be? Do you know?
At the end of the year.
Okay.
It's very vague. And I have learned with the military that there are no set dates. And for expectation management, even if they gave me a date, I would continue to tell myself the end of the year.
So this is your first experience being a military spouse?
No, actually. This is my second time. I have a starter marriage.
A starter marriage. Okay,
yes,
I like that term.
A starter marriage. I have a starter marriage, and unfortunately, that was not good for either one of us. And as a result, I swore off military men. And then this beautiful man comes into my life and sweeps me off my feet, and I had to eat my words. As we often have to do.
Good for you. Good for you. Well, let's talk a little bit about, you told me one time that you just, when you came to Colorado Springs, you just jumped right in. And I wish more of us had that attitude to just jump right in. I know we're going to talk a little bit about some of the things that you have encountered in your work about people feeling isolated. And that seems to be a theme that so many of the people I interview have encountered. There's Mayor Yemi and his program. There's, or maybe it's his wife's program. I'm not quite sure who's leading that effort. And then I have a friend who has a program with a number of Afghan refugees, and she talks about how isolated those women felt. And I guess I could kind of understand that because there are language barriers and many of them dress in different kinds of clothing. And but when other people who are living here are Native Americans, and when they feel isolated, I think that's what got the Mobilates interested in the program they're doing. So how did you get tied up with them? I can't even think of the name of it now. It's a
Is it the 1,000 Neighborhood Gatherings?
Okay.
The 1,000 Neighborhood Thousand Neighborhood Gatherings. It's a wonderful initiative to combat loneliness and really just champion for community. I think that with the advancement of technology, we've become very non-reliant on people. But although we might be born alone, we're not intended to live alone. And I think especially if you choose to live in your own head, then life can be a very isolating experience. I think trauma, pain, whatever you want to call it, negative lived experiences will tell you to live in your own space and keep to yourself to protect yourself. But that protection comes at a cost of isolation and loneliness. Mm-hmm. And I think we need to get back to some old school values where, you know, just because you don't agree on certain things, that doesn't mean you can't share a cup of coffee. You can't do a wave in the neighborhood. You know, you just can't. You can be a pleasant person regardless of whatever your beliefs are and respect other people. I think that encourages other folks to be happier and more whole.
So what was your role in this 1,000 neighborhoods, 1,000 neighbors?
So in one of the positions that I volunteer for, I'm on the board for KONO, and KONO is one of the partnering organizations for 1,000.
Would you explain for the people who don't know what KONO is?
Sure. Well, one, I have to say there is a fantastic podcast on Pikes Peak Women with Sarah Voss, the former executive director of KONO. So please go check that out. And two, KONO is about building vibrant neighborhoods, building neighborhoods that you can love, and teaching you how to be an advocate through yourself for your neighborhood with the classes like Neighborhood University, which is a totally free program. program, and they even feed you dinner. So it's like a win-win all the way around. I'm so proud to be a part of Kono. And when I found out we were doing the 1,000 neighborhood gatherings, I had the honor of actually hosting the very first neighborhood gathering. And that was so much fun. It was really special. Governor Polis showed up, Mayor Yemi showed up, Councilmember Lineweber showed up, Senator Tony Exum showed up, and my neighbors did too. And the result of that was fantastic, because I had actually just moved into that house in February, and I had the neighborhood gathering on May 18th. I didn't know my neighbors, but as a result of that gathering, I met my direct next door neighbor. And since then, they have been such a resource. They've taken out my trash bin to the curb when, you know, I've been out of town. They've kept an eye on the on my property. It's really nice to know your people.
Kind of like an old-fashioned neighborhood.
Yes. We even talk to each other over the fence.
Well, what do you think? Will you do that again? Or what do you think the outcome of that? You had one meeting. What?
There, you can't stop at one. You can't. You have okay. to do. You have to do more. And actually, my neighborhood, shout out to Spring Creek, we had a weekend of garage sales. So I think about 14 or something families did garage sales. So it was like a weekend garage sale that you could come explore. We've had a neighborhood barbecue. So it's been really nice to know your neighbors, because it. I mean, my old neighborhood, I knew a few folks, but. But not really. And now I know probably 6, 7, 8, 9. And research says that knowing as few as 6 of your neighbors can decrease so many negative mental health outcomes.
Well, studies show that people who are feeling alone and isolated suffer, their mental health suffers. And it's hard to be positive. And we certainly see negative feelings throughout society these days. So I hope this experiment is fantastically successful.
I hope so. And, you know, speaking of the data, if you get a chance, I highly recommend Vivek Murphy's, the Surgeon General, former Surgeon General, his book Together. It not only talks about the mental health outcomes of loneliness, but it also talks about your physical health. There's data to back how loneliness is destroying us as individual people and as communities.
Mm-hmm. Not just the military.
Not just the military. Right. Isolation does not discriminate. It gets everyone, right? We've all felt extraordinarily lonely at one point in time. But I do think if you can feel loneliness, then you can also feel belonging, which is the opposite of loneliness.
Well, I, for one, am very anxious to see how this progresses. I know the mayor and his wife are very sold on this and very committed to it. So I'm glad you are too. And it sounds like your neighbors are too.
They are.
I like what they experienced. Huh? Well, let's talk about this honor that you have, the outstanding military spouse. Is that here in Colorado Springs or?
So the Armed Forces Insurance Military Spouse of the Year program is actually an international program. The Armed Forces Insurance overall Military Spouse of the Year last year was from Germany. And this year, she is from Colorado Springs. And I'm not talking about myself. I'm actually talking about Dr. Courtney Barber. They are stationed at Schriever Air Force Base. Phenomenal human being, really invested in the mental health space and has her own practice, actually. And they select a spouse from each branch of service to include the National Guard. So there's a total of 7 of us, and we're selected based off of our involvement with our military and veteran connected community, our overall community, and it's been a lot of fun. I'm not gonna lie, it's been a little nerve-wracking because I'm not very good at attention. I don't mind speaking about other people and elevating other people and programs, but now people are like, tell me about you, and I'm like,
what's to tell, huh?
I'm like, I just do stuff for the community.
Now, how did you come to be, that's a pretty broad pool of people to look at to draw the outstanding military wife. How did that happen?
You get nominated. Uh-huh. I was nominated by two of my peers who are also military spouses. Funny story, I was nominated last year for this same award, but I did not accept the nomination. And I didn't accept the nomination because imposter syndrome. I said, I'm just me, you know, that four-letter word just, which we really need to get out of all of our vocabularies, especially as women. And this year she nominated me and she called me and she said, I nominated you again. If you don't accept this, we are going to fight. And I thought, I can't beat her in a fight, so I should accept this nomination. and I did. And from there, there's like a voting process, and they start with the installation. So I was actually nominated for Fort Carson, and I won at the Fort Carson level. And then from there, they review all of the base winners to decide who the finalists. They pick three finalists from each branch of service. And I was shocked when they said, Kimberly, you're one of the top three finalists. And I'm like, wow. And I'm reading the other profiles of the finalists. And I said, I am fully prepared to tell them congratulations. And my husband left for deployment on a Friday. That following Monday, as I'm driving the kiddo to school, I get a phone call. And she says, I'm calling to congratulate you as Army Spouse of the Year. And I had nothing to say. She's like, hello, hello. I was shocked into silence.
Well, what does that mean? What did you get a prize, or did you get some travel, or do you have to do something?
So the Thursday before Mother's Day is Military Spouse Appreciation Day. And that week we all flew out to Washington, D.C. for this amazing Military Spouse of the Year conference. And these are all kinds of military spouses, regardless if you're a air quote winner or not. Mm-hmm. And they celebrate military spouses. Armed Forces Insurance is a fantastic organization. It is a private insurance organization. And what I appreciate is, you know, we have other insurance companies that have, you know, cute little animals as their mascots. And they said, no, we want military spouses to represent us. And so they sponsor this amazing program. And they just really rode out the red carpet for us that week. And I have so many positive memories. And it was all of a sudden I had 150 new friends.
You know, somehow I imagine that you always have a lot of friends. Now, was there any obligation to, you have to speak to the women on the post here or someplace else, or just keep on being you?
They allow you to build your own adventure. Mm-hmm. You are selected based off of the work that you're already doing. Mm-hmm. So if they can help you amplify that work, by all means, the organization helps you to do that. But it really is a build your own adventure. And I appreciate the flexibility they give me.
What's your adventure?
My adventure is really advocating for mental health, especially with loneliness. I also want to advocate for the power of friendship, which goes right into loneliness.
Right.
I think that in our lives, we have family. We can't choose our family. And often our family is sometimes the folks that cause us the most pain. I believe that friends are the family you choose, and they can fill the gap for a lot of the things that you might have missed from your family. So I really believe in the power of friendship. I have so many strong women who just love on me every day, and I want that for other people.
Well, what... I think I could probably answer this, but I'm going to ask you, what is your advice to women, maybe someone at home who's feeling kind of down, and what's your advice to get out of that mindset?
This might come off as a little bit harsh, so I do want to preface that. But what I think that folks should understand is that nobody's coming to save you. And I don't know if it's because of entertainment that we had been given when we were younger. We think that there's some savior. And yes, I believe in Jesus Christ as a savior, but nobody's coming to save you. You have to dig deep and find out what matters to you. Find out what your why is and own your own self. And that's how you start to be comfortable and confident in who you are and attract the people that are going to be in your life for a season or for a lifetime.
Well, say also that someone is listening and they're saying, well, what is that thing that she did, the 1,000 neighbors? How could I get involved in that?
Oh, there's a website for everything. Okay. So I don't recall the website by memory, but it is something like City of Colorado Springs 1,000 Neighborhood Gatherings. And you can go into your favorite search engine, put Colorado Springs 1,000 Neighborhood Gatherings. Mm-hmm. I guarantee you it'll be one of the first three things that
pop
up.
That's the first step. Then what's the next thing that happens?
The next step is to commit and actually sign up for a neighborhood gathering. What I really want folks to know is you do not have to have an elaborate neighborhood gathering. It could be donuts in the driveway. It could be a cup of coffee on your porch. It could be playing horseshoe. Is that the name of the game? Horseshoe or cornhole in the backyard.
Right.
It can be cleaning up. You know, you might have some areas in your neighborhood that might need a little bit of cleaning up. And you don't have to have 200 people. You don't have to have 20 people or 12.
You don't have to be shy.
It just has to be a few people. Yeah. And do something that is meaningful for you. And you've made our community better.
And your life.
Yes. Yes.
Well, when does your husband return?
At the end of the year or so.
Okay.
Yeah, really, 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 really hoping that we can have him back by Christmas. But just say a prayer. Keep your fingers crossed that.
You're really, really hoping that you can stay here?
I am.
Oh, you are staying here.
Well, I told my husband, I said, I'm staying here. We can do the long distance relationship while Uncle Sam still has a little control of your life. And for now, I think he's reluctantly agreed. We'll see what happens. But I love Colorado Springs. It is a fantastic city with amazing people. And even if we by chance have to leave because Uncle Sam says we have to leave and my husband puts his foot down, it is absolutely a goal to make sure that we come back.
You came here from Korea.
I did.
You'd lived in the United States before. You didn't grow up in Korea.
No, I was born in Korea, and I was born to the woman who would become the first Korean female to reach the rank of Chief Warrant Officer 5 in the Army. So I was born there, but we didn't stay there long. Yeah. We moved around a lot. And then in my adult life, I chose to live most of it in Korea.
Okay. I could say why. Why?
Initially it started because my mom received an assignment to Korea. And then I realized I had the most fabulous opportunity to learn about the Korean side of me.
That's part of your heritage too, is it not?
Yes, a big part. Yeah. And especially considering my mom is one of five and she was the only one that immigrated to the United States. All four of my uncles and aunts, they still live there. My grandmother still lived there. My grandfather still lived there. And it was an opportunity to really know the culture, know that side of the family. Mm-hmm. So I took advantage of that. I knew that I would end up back in America eventually, but while I had the opportunity to live in Korea, I said, I'm going to take it. And I think that's what you should do when you have opportunity, take it.
Just jump right in and take those opportunities.
Yes.
I can see your perspective on life. Well, what is next for you? I assume that this outstanding military spouse is a year-long activity. And I don't know about the chamber. Let's talk about the chamber a little bit.
Sure.
What's the role of the Black Chamber in Colorado Springs?
The role of the Black Chamber, honestly, I feel like sometimes people are scared to say the word Black and scared to talk about racial identity. The Black Chamber, it exists because once upon a time, the people of color were not welcome into other establishments, right? So
right.
The Black Chamber was created by Colonel Jim Stewart 32 years ago and continues to exist today to champion for BIPOC businesses. And that's, you know, I will be frank in saying that I do hope one day that the identity-based chambers don't have to exist. But we are a baby country. America is not even 300 years old. So I would imagine maybe year 400 or year 500, we won't see so much identity-based chambers or organizations because the need won't be there.
Well, I'm a lot older than you are, and I have to say that it's like a shock to my system to think that we have a presidential candidate who is Black and female. I mean, I never would have thought in my lifetime that would happen. So
it means, as a person who is like Vice President Harris, who is Black and Asian, it is inspirational. It when you see someone who looks like you in such high authority positions, that you feel inspired, like, oh, I could do that too.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, the Black Chamber exists to be a light for other people of color.
And an advocate, I would assume, for people of color.
Absolutely. We want to remove barriers. We want to increase access. And it is very, very fortunate that Colorado Springs is so collaborative. We have a great relationship with Colorado Springs Chamber and EDC. We have a multicultural access program with them that was spearheaded by John Arita Claymeyer. We have a great relationship with the Hispanic Chamber, the Philippine American Chamber. We work together really well in Colorado Springs.
Well, it sounds like that's the right direction to get to your goal. So going back to where we were talking before, if I can remember what we were talking about before, because we've talked about so many things, what is the goal, I guess I would say, of the Black Chamber? I mean, I'm familiar with chambers. You encourage business and networking and things like that.
So chambers do all of that and more. I think a piece that a lot of folks forget about with chambers is we do legislative advocacy. So we do like to serve as a bridge between the community and our legislators so that mm-hmm. we can speak to the needs of the community, particularly the business community. For me, my goal, my term is 2 years, and I'm about a fourth of the way through my term. For me, I love when businesses can operate very efficiently, and I love for there to be systems and processes. I'm real big into organization. You should see my closet. but I want to build those systems and processes through a volunteer team with the Colorado Springs Black Chamber of Commerce. Also, I want to elevate different Black business related things, such as August being National Black Business Month. It's important that we use these observance months or days or weeks or whatever they are to highlight what folks are doing. So I'm really, really excited because Governor Polis did a state proclamation recognizing August as National Black Business Month. And we have a bunch of fun activities, but the one that tugs the most at my heart and that I'm most proud of is we've partnered with the African Chamber of Commerce based out of Denver and Pikes Peak Small Business Development Center to bring a Black Women's Entrepreneurship Program. It's a free 12-week program. We've already have 27 women signed up. That's 27 future businesses, but beyond that, that's 27 women who are investing in themselves and have folks investing in them. That's increased confidence. This is building legacy, and I'm so excited for what's to come for those 27 women, and maybe we can get the number a little higher.
Well, and I also think looking to elected office, that part of your goal is probably electing someone, someone's to the city council.
You know, I don't know if I should say this, but I'm going to. Honestly, it would be a dream for me, myself, to sit on city council. I think what an opportunity to serve the community. However, we are on a fixed income because my husband is military, mm-hmm. and technically that is a fixed income. And we need a livable salary.
Yes.
And the fact that the Colorado Springs City Council has a stipend of around $6,000 annually, that's a barrier that my family cannot overcome.
And you are not the first person to say that to me, that good people who say they would love to serve the community, but they just can't, they can't afford it. And I hope that there is a movement, maybe by all the chambers, or maybe there are a number of civic organizations that would press for, maybe it's still a stipend, but it's something that would fill the gap between service and compensation.
Absolutely.
I mean, you look around, and what do county commissioners get? What do state legislators get? You know, it's, in this day and age, it's kind of ridiculous.
Right. And our El Paso County commissioners have a six-figure salary, and that's what's needed to live right. in Colorado Springs,
right.
To provide for your families. You know, I have a rising junior. We have college on the horizon. We want to expand our family. That means that's another investment into a tiny human.
Yes.
Our family, you know, if we could give our services away, I'm sure many of us would do so. But in this life, we do need income to live, and I certainly don't want to be a Bezos by any stretch of the imagination, but I do want to be able to provide for my family. And I
but
think
the reality is, for good people to serve, very often it comes down to that very thing: could I afford to serve? And I was going to say something, but I think I'll hold my tongue about getting what you pay for. But well, I hope that changes. I certainly would be on board if someone started a drive to make that happen. It's sort of bubbled up a couple of times, and I think it's even gotten defeated a couple times by the voters. But I think that with this, if the story were told about what it takes to be an elected official, I think people would want to invest in good people who would be interested. So. And I, of course, personally would like to see more women and people of color, and I'd like to see a city council that reflects Colorado Springs. But I'm a big pie-in-the-sky person, but things change, and because of people like you, and I guess people like me who say,
absolutely,
we're not happy with the status quo. So what's your next project that you're working on?
My next project? Gosh, that's a great question. I think I'm so invested in my current project, especially with the Black Chamber, that I haven't put much thought into what's next. I recently took a class that was focused on introspection, and one of the principles that is of the class is contentment. And I am learning because I do dream very big, and sometimes in the pursuit of what's next, I find myself discontent with what's now. And but the what's now is often what I prayed for and what I worked for. So I need to learn to be content. And right now, I feel like I'm really sitting in contentment. So if I have to say what's next, that would be getting my husband home.
Well, that's a very real goal. Okay. Well, is there anything that you wanted to bring up that we haven't covered?
For those that are listening, I would want to say get involved. Get involved. We have the opportunity to be living. And I know the statistics on birth is like crazy, right? Whatever that stat is, mm-hmm. you made it. You made it into this life. So make it a life worth living, and make it a life worth living, not just for yourself, but for your community and for future communities. We may not all make it in the history books, but we're all contributing to history. So
Right. And your community is the state of Colorado, the city of Colorado Springs, your neighborhood, your school, wherever you are, that's your community. And I guarantee you, you're needed. So I think you give great advice.
Yes. And I think the one thing a lot of people don't think about is the pain that you've been through. Sharing that with somebody in a productive way also helps heal other people, because we're never alone in our pain. And being able to share that burden helps many.
Well, it's about time to wrap this up. I am so impressed with you. I think that so many people come and feel isolated and are too timid to reach out. And I think you're a wonderful role model where you don't have to be timid. Somebody's waiting for you to reach out, and somebody needs your services, whatever that might be. So thank you for doing what you're doing. Thank you for being here and sharing what you've done. It's to be admired. And you were nominated by several women who also are impressed with you. So thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. It's such an honor. And I will admit that I actually am pretty timid and scared. But the motto is do it scared, advocate scared, speak scared, act scared, do it anyway.
All right. Good motto. This is Mary Lou Makepeace from Elevating Pikes. This is Mary Lou Makepeace from Elevating Pikes Peak Women. And we've been talking here. Kimberly Gold, who is a military spouse and has been here a very short time, but has managed to make a big impact on her community. And so we celebrate her accomplishments. For more information, check out our show notes. If you're interested in learning more about Pikes Peak Women, visit us on Facebook. Until our next episode, I'm your host, Mary Lou Makepeace. Thanks for listening to Elevating Pikes Peak Women. I hope you enjoyed this episode, and if so, please consider leaving a review wherever you listen to podcasts or share with your friends on social media or in person.